As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is arising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to the Wednesday, April the 8th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. I'm on the web, they're on the web, we're all on the web these days, www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, my two little websites. You might want to log on and bookmark those today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today in the form of an interview with a very good friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine, a broadcaster, independent researcher in his own right, Sam Britton, and he's going to be joining us in just a moment. But let me put out all of the details and the business things that we need to do to get this broadcast started before we bring up our guest. Once again, Interactive Talk Radio is the name of this game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or you can pick up the telephone and call now. For those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join myself and Sam Britton on the air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, the Big Mo, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Like to give a big shout out to Micro 1650 AM, also carrying this morning's broadcast, and we're going to talk to Sam Britton, who is a micro broadcaster, and he carries these broadcasts as well. So there's lots of ways to listen to this network, and I hope that you'll all pay closest attention. Now, well, let's finish up the rest of this. Gold strives to regain the $890 range. Stocks were pummeled again yesterday on Tuesday. And let's go into those market reports and put them behind us for today. It's Wednesday, April the 8th, 2009, active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was up $4, trading at $885.10. Silver was up 13 cents to $12.35. The platinum was the big winner so far, and do watch platinum, folks. It continues to move up, and it's making large moves. $16 up, $1,179 an ounce. Palladium up $7. That's one of the largest jumps I've seen in palladium for quite a while, trading at $230. The Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday closed off 186 points to 7,890. The NASDAQ off 45 points yesterday, trading 1561. So there's trouble in the stocks and trouble up ahead. The U.S. dollar index up 16 basis points, trading at 85.41. Crude oil was off $1.07 early morning trading at 48.08. The lows and the highs so far in the market. In the gold spot market, 881.10 for a low, 890.40 for a high. Year to year, that's a $30.30 loss for 3.3% down year on year. But again, every time you look at these numbers and every time we give them out, they're always changing, so you have to keep paying attention. But this is about a $10 spread. It's up and down, very erratic so far in the morning, so we'll see where it goes today. The markets are going to close in 7 hours, and without further ado, I'd like to bring on a great friend, a very loyal friend of mine. Oh, I see we've got the music, so we'll just have to bring him up on the other side. Stay with Sam and stay with his audience, and we'll pick it up on the other side. We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, April the 8th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday. As we went through the market reports in the beginning segment, in the first segment, I also mentioned that today's guest is going to be Sam Britton. He's online with us right now. Sam, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing just fine. It's a wonderful day, and certainly a wonderful day for waking people up, I'll tell you that.
Well, it is, and I can't think of a day in my life in the last 10 years that it hasn't been a great day to wake people up, and every time I get a feeling like we're actually doing something instead of just talking to ourselves over these microphones, it's always a good day in my life. You know, folks, Sam and I have known each other for quite some time, and I want to just kind of lay out a little bit of the background, if you will, of what some people would call the Patriot Movement or the Truth Movement or the Independent Research Movement. It's really a phenomenon. It's something that started to come on right in the early 90s and has just snowballed and gone, as they say on the internet these days, Sam, viral. And so we've been in this in the trenches, if you will, with our boots on the ground for years. And we first picked up the trail, at least I first found out about you back just after the Republic Broadcasting Network was created, when Ted Anderson and John Stattmiller split the sheets and created RBN. And let's see, I think Jack Blood was still up at WHRL up in Rhode Island. He was just starting to broadcast on RBN, the news station there. going out not only on the internet, I didn't have internet at the time, but on shortwave, which, you know, for hams and DXers and the like, a lot of us were listening in those days on our receivers. And so Jack Bloodfirst came along, then Chris Gerner came along, and it was really through Chris Gerner's broadcast, American Exposé, that you and I crossed paths on the radio, you as a caller, me as a caller, and then by the unfortunate circumstances where Chris was no longer able to do his broadcast and asked me to step in for him, then we started to, you know, kind of cement the relationship, and you invited me on your network. I was also out to, over to Michael Shaw's Freedom 21. We all started getting talking a lot about Agenda 21, but let's go back to that time period, WWCR, WHRI, WBCQ, WWRB, and what were your thoughts and what are your feelings in regards to that initial impetus, the first push into this Patriot radio system?
Well, first, I have to blame Trish for that. I don't know if to blame her or thank her. I think I'd thank her, of course, because I mean that kind of jokingly, because, I mean, she really, originally, I was actually just a person who just listened to Rush Limbaugh, and that was all there was to it. And she kept telling me, she said, there's more than what you're getting from Rush, and she said, you need to listen to this guy, Chris Gerner. And she started telling me about Chris, and at the time, Chris was on GCN, and she was listening to him on shortwave, and I can't remember the shortwave station he was on at the time. It's been so long ago, but I do remember he was on shortwave, and she'd struggle to listen there, and finally one day she kept mentioning it to me, and we'd just gotten married not too long before that, and we'd gotten a computer as a wedding gift, and so she kept talking to me about it. I said, okay, all right, let's go in here, bring him up on the internet, let's see what it's all about. And we did, and to make a long story short, we never looked back and started researching some of the stuff that Chris was talking about, what little I could find at the time. And see, what a lot of people don't understand is with a vision problem like Trish and I have, Chris Gerner was a blind person's best friend at that time, because he would sit there and read all these UN documents verbatim that we otherwise at the time didn't have access to. And as technology moved along and we were able to improve our ability on the computer, then we were able to look up some of this stuff. So Chris was really the one, I think, if you really have to give credit to somebody at the very, very beginning. Trish started listening to him, then I started listening to him, and then from Chris it went on to other people, and then eventually then you had the Alex Jones people that came in, you had that ilk, and then you had Joyce Riley, Dave Von Kleist, the list goes on, and we gradually made our rounds to the point that now we're broadcasting a lot of the information that's out there. So it's been quite a trip.
Well, let's stop, take that right there, because one of the things that a lot of the listeners may not understand is that there are a lot of very active people all around the United States who have various and sundry, you can call them disabilities. I think they're almost advantages, really, because they knock all the props out from under the lazy butts a lot of times. But there are people out there that are without sight or can be perhaps hearing impaired or mobility challenged, if you want to call it that way, that are actually as much a part, actively part of this research phenomena as anybody else. And so having the opportunity, one of the things, as you know, Sam, one of the things that I like to do is I go through and I collect all of these old books. But just carrying along in that vein from Chris Gerner in the early times, I'll just take the books, and, you know, Bill Cooper used to do the same. I'll just take the book and open it up and read from it and talk out of it for the benefit of those who don't have access to those kind of materials, things you can't get in a talking book, for instance, or books that are no longer in circulation generally, wouldn't be carried at a public library. And so it helps to bring young and old, those sighted and unsighted people into the system. And I'm glad that it, is out there. And I would like to see even more, people come on board who are, able to get onto the internet. And now you mentioned that there have been technology changes. What are just some of the things that are available to you on the computer that help you to do your research? I mean, I just can't imagine it. But you do tell me a little bit about, tell the audience a little bit about what are some of the things that are available on the computer for someone that cannot see the screen?
Well, there are technologies in both the Windows side and the Mac side. There are screen readers on the Windows side, such as programs like Window Eyes. There's one called Window Eyes, and there's another one called JAWS, and all of these speak what's on the screen back to the user. But where the Mac has really excelled, which is why Trish and I are using the Macs, is that the Macintosh computer is the first computer to come straight out of the box with no added additional hardware, with a screen reader already built into the system from the time you get it at the store. So everybody, blind and sighted, even if a sighted person just wanted to mess around with the screen reader, can get access to the screen reader on the Mac. And up to this point, see, the problem we had, which made it really hard, was that you first bought the computer, which at that time was expensive enough. You might pay $1,000 to $2,000 at that time. But the screen readers, and they still are on the Windows side to a large extent, add another $1,000 or so to the cost, because just the software alone is going to cost you almost $1,000 to get. And so what happened when Apple came along on the Macintosh side and built the screen reader in, it turned everything around, because for the first time you get a computer. In some cases, some of their computers are as low as $500, you know, $599 or something like that. And sometimes even cheaper if you can find discounted sales. And then, on top of that, you get the operating system with it, with a screen reader and everything all built in.
Okay, well, let's go to this break, folks. Stay right with us. We'll be back with our special guest, Sam Britton. Stay there.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
And we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local, speaking today with our special guest, Sam Britton, talking about some things that maybe you haven't heard of for a while, folks. Just giving you some background on this, Lee Rogers likes to call it, the bowel movement, you know, and the pluralism. Sam, I've spoken about that with you guys before on air. But this concept of groups and groupthink, there's so many groups. It was such a clever plan to introduce so many into the fabric of life in the developed nations, but it's really almost become our form of government. Inside of this, we've got a lot of people who have come up out of no place. I can think of Tom Valentine, Bill Cooper, Brother Stair, Dr. Stan, Chris Gerner, Jackie Petru, Alan Watt, Michael Shaw, people who were doing research on their own right, that if it had not been for community radio or shortwave broadcasting and then the internet and the websites and things like that, these people's research would have just basically been left under the carpet. But now we've got them out. We've got them up in the light. So many things happened. I know that everybody's got a different point where they really started paying attention. I don't know when you first got in, started as a ham, Sam, but back in Gulf War One, I bought my first shortwave receiver. My mother had been a shortwave DXer for years. My father was an airline pilot, and she received as a Christmas gift one year a real nice radio that would pick up the air band, because she could hear, when we lived in Alaska, she could hear him talking on the air while he was flying, and that really gave her a big thrill, but it also let her know that in the Arctic bush service that he was in, that he was okay. So there's an important aspect there, that air frequency. We're going to talk about that in the second hour when we go into a discussion of low-power FM and micro-broadcasting. But some of these people and some of these various events that came up got people started. When now you say you were virtually a Rush Limbaugh fan, and so that we would put you somewhere in the neighborhood of the 2004 coming on board. But as these various and sundry things came down, what was your impression of, let's say, like in retrospect, Randy Weaver's experience, or Waco, or the Oklahoma City bombing? Where in all of this did you start picking up threads and following it along?
Well, actually, we came up on board actually about 91 or 92, back in 91, 92. But we knew something was wrong, but we really didn't start getting into our research till just after 96. And we knew something was wrong. I always, in fact, even before that, I always knew something was wrong, because one of the things that always bothered me about our nation that gave me cause to sense that something was wrong was that we were one time a nation that gave everything our best. Our products were top-notch. Everything was built good. When you bought something that was American-made, it was good. And we gave everything our very best in this country. And it seemed like no matter what it was, whether it was the schools or whatever it was, as we went through the 70s and into the 80s, products started cheapening. It was more like, let's just embrace mediocrity and let's not try to excel. Let's not try to do better. And that gave me cause to know that something was terribly wrong, but I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then along came Rush, and Rush kind of sang my song for a while, but the only problem is he didn't get into the real heart of what was driving any of it. It was just always them darn Democrats.
Right.
And I got tired of that as time went along, and I discovered, you know, the more I got to thinking, being the thinking kind of person that I am, just because you claim to be a Democrat or because you claim to be a Republican, you still have the capability of being in the sin bin just like everybody else, you know. But the way Rush presented it, it was like Republicans, Lily White, Snow White, always right, Democrats always wrong. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of stuff that's happened to the Democratic Party. It's a socialist party, but the Republicans have embraced this stuff too. And one of the things that really told me that I was starting to get onto something was back in 94, about the same time we had this contract on America, as I affectionately call it.
Yes.
We had this large defecting of Democrats from the Democratic Party over the Republican Party because of what Clinton was doing. You know, they wanted to distance themselves from him. And Rush thought that was a great thing. And Trish and I back then, even though we didn't know as much as we know now, kind of thought, well, wait just a minute here. And we started wondering, you know, are these guys really going to do the Republican Party justice, or are they going to carry their baggage? Well, we found out later they carried their baggage and just more infiltration of the Republican Party. And the Republican Party was in trouble, though, well before then. I mean, my dad, even back in 1968, he quit voting because he said, doesn't matter who in the world you vote for, it's all going to be the same anyway.
That's right.
And so, you know, I knew deep in my mind that something was wrong. I just saw it gradually getting worse and worse. And now we're, here we go through these various things like the situation up at Ruby Ridge, the Branch Davidians, all this stuff to condition the public to start accepting these things. And then now we have the 9/11 disaster. And, you know, once I started really figuring things out and once I started thinking through the 9/11 disaster, as I was able to do research on it, that's when I was convinced that there's no way it couldn't have been anything but an inside job, because how could you, with all the descriptions of what went on the day those buildings came down, how could you conclude anything other? Because if only planes hit the buildings, if it was only planes, all your explosions, if there were any explosions or any fires, would have started from the top floor. But we had too many people who reported explosions in the basement of the building. And I got news, jet fuel just running down the elevator shafts, which is one of the excuses they tried to use, wouldn't have quite set up that scenario, because first of all, jet fuel doesn't even burn as hot as the as some of the explosives they found in the building. So I knew something was wrong with that, and that's when I started figuring out crisis management. And ever since then, I've been trying to educate my audience here on the issue of cause and effect, problem, reaction, solution. Problem created, the public cries out for that's the reaction. When the public screams out for a solution, then the solution the government brings in is always either more totalitarian control or something that the public would have never wanted otherwise.
Yeah, that synthesis is a real it's a real study in itself, because when you look at the syntheses that are offered, folks, you can see that if these things are laid out one by one by one by one, they just continually move us into the further and further away from freedom and deeper and deeper into this tyrannical, as we know it to be, this GIS, GPS, global governance system. So, yeah, understanding that that dialectic is important, and I remember the first time someone was telling me about Hegelian dialectics was the first time that I went back, and I'd read Hegel off my mother's library shelves before I even got out of high school, but I went back and I reread them, Hegel and Nietzsche and Fichte and others. I mean, some of the darkest hours in philosophy that there is, but these are things that you have to start putting together piece by piece to understand. But when you understand his mindset and where he wants to go, then you can see it right in our own system of government. Now, there was a lot of everybody had different things. I remember on the morning of, and we've got just a few seconds now before the break, but on the morning of September the 11th, when my mother woke me up with panic and shrieking, she was an elderly lady at the time and has now passed away, but she woke me up with shrieking that the nation was under siege, that we were under attack. And I switched on the shortwave, spent about 20 minutes listening around, got the thread, captured it. Our brother Stair was having a real good broadcast that morning, and I realized almost immediately that we were just being tubed once again. Everybody was talking about a Pearl Harbor-like event. I called in on Brother Stair's broadcast and told him that, in my opinion, we were looking at a second Lusitania. This was a controlled demolition. So anyway, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us, and we will pick it up on the other side of this break.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. A
Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back, and once again, that international call-in number is 866-841-1065, and in the Austin, Texas area, 512-904-8014, and you can take Oracle on the road with that. Just follow the instructions, and you can listen on your cell phone if you have unlimited long-distance access. We're talking today with Sam Britton, independent researcher, a micro-broadcaster, local political hero in my mind, and we've got a lot of material to cover in the next hour and a half, so I hope you'll pay attention and stay with us throughout the entire broadcast. But as we were going into the break, just a brief mention in regards to that infamous morning of September the 11th of 2001. That was a real wake-up call to me that we were just basically repeating history for a new generations that had not been around back at the time of World War I and World War II, and they were just dusting off old tricks and bringing us down the same pathway. But one of the things, Sam, that really set me up and changed my life considerably was the Help America Vote Act of 2001, I believe it was, and that was in the shadow of the Bush Gore battle in Florida, Louisiana, St. Louis, the elections there, and the fraud that went down. That was the problem. The reaction was the public outcry for fair and balanced elections, if you will. And then again, this synthesis was the Help America Vote Act of 2001. But the idea of bringing in electronic voting devices, when I looked at that bill, and I got it immediately, just when it called my congressman's rep and aid or whatever you call them, and they sent a copy of it right out to me. And I read it, and I looked at that, and I went through my encyclopedias, and I looked at the various and sundry things that were out there, and then I followed it through the various debates and the statewide debates. You may have remembered those. Anita
yeah.
Yeckel, I think it was Anita Yeckel, was in charge of that. But I could see that as soon as the way that the bill was written, as soon as one entity, one political subdivision in the state bought into this thing, then a time limit happened where every other county would have to get online if they wanted the federal funding, and I just knew there was going to be trouble. So I immediately started working with our county clerk here to try and bring her up to speed on electronic voting and all the problems that were out there. I did the homework on the various other books that had written before Black Box Voting came out. What was that gal's name?
Beverly Harris.
There you go. Just flew away from me. I heard Beverly Harris one morning, I think on the Power Hour. I contacted her, talked to her about the research that I'd been doing. And, but at any rate, at that point, I started to come up with this very, very firm idea that if we were going to defeat this, controlled election system, we were going to have to do it on the local level. We would have to know on a precinct by precinct level, have a sense of how many people were at the polls, how many people turned out to vote, and what the general consensus was, if you will, of the voters going in and out of that building. And so it all started to point to me like if we were going to have and preserve our election, we were going to have strong precinct groups organized, not only as poll watchers, but also as bringing forth true candidates. And this brings us around to one of the things I really want to discuss this morning, but bringing forward true candidates who understand the issues, who've got their brains turned on, who are, if not constitutionally minded, at least you understand that, or they would understand what is the United States of America and how were the colony, you know, what is some of the American history in all of this. But that's, you know, that's what's so important. And where you're coming from now, let's just go in and talk a little bit about how you started and how you've gotten now involved on a local level in local politics, and what are you seeing from the inside, and what positions do you hold?
Well, first of all, as far as my position, I'm alderman for the city of Owensville, Missouri, and one of the things that led me into this was we blew into town like a fast-blowing tornado and threw up the radio station, got it on the air, and started trying to inform people of what's going on. And when we weren't doing it through the radio station, I was trying to do it through any means I could find. We had a huge meeting here in Owensville back in 2004, or actually 2005, I'll take that back. It was about a year after we were here, when Missouri was going to meter private wells. And I got a hold of Derry Brownfield, and one thing led to another. Trish and I started throwing together the coordinated effort to get people out in droves to fight this, and we put out a bunch of flyers, and others took off with those flyers, and eventually, before it was over with, we had everybody from pretty much just about all over Missouri here in Owensville, and we packed the Lions Club out. The Lions Club normally holds about 300 people, and we had about 510 or so, something like that, in the building at the time.
Wow.
And standing room only, and even in the kitchen. And there was more wanting in the door.
Wow.
And by the time we were done, the two representatives, state representatives, one that represents this area that voted for it, and the other one was a guy, we had a guy by the name of Charlie Schlottick from this area. He voted for it. And then Dennis Wood, who's from Branson, he voted for it because he saw a windfall profit out of the whole deal for Branson and all the theaters that were going up over there. And so we beat it back. Those guys walked out of there with their heads down. I mean, it was every time they'd try to come up with an excuse as to why this needed to be, there were people in the audience that'd say, "That's bull," and you can fill in the rest. I don't have to say what the rest of it was, but you know what they said. So,
absolutely. And this is the kind of stuff, folks, that that I talk about here on Become Vocal Local. It's actually understanding what the globalist agenda is, and then getting on base locally first, and putting up a strong resistance first, and understanding that voluntary compliance is at the, you know, is the warp and the woof of these international agreements. They're soft law. They're not law. They're like legal positivism. They function as law. They have the force of law, but they are legal, but not necessarily lawful. And in this case, there was a substantial drive to come into the state of Missouri and put meters on private wells, which would cause incredible havoc with the farming and ranching communities, not to mention just limiting someone's use and enjoyment of a privately owned, drilled, and maintained water source. But this was something that where you got involved on a local level, and through that meeting and a variety of a number of others with the Ozark Property Rights Congress and many others starting to leap into existence, it was able to be stopped and quashed in the state of Missouri. So these are the benefits to gain the reward for the hard work that you guys started right there.
Absolutely. And that's the key. You got to get trying to find people of like mind. That's the biggest thing. The other thing that you got to be careful about, and I yell and scream this, and I still have not gotten this across to some in our city council, and I keep on and keep on, but that is, if you're going to take grant money, don't be surprised when the strings come down eventually, and you wind up having to do something that you otherwise would not want to do because, well, you took the Kool-Aid. And there's a lot of this going on in municipalities all over the place. We had our police, our marshal here, wanting to hire a cop using the community policing grant that the Obama administration is throwing out there. Now, keep in mind, this started back when Clinton was in power, but it still continues, and this thing is draconian from the word go. It basically sets up a Sovietization of your town in which you hire police officers. They become federal officers at that point because you're hiring them with federal money. And then now the community policing program, they use that to train citizens to be watchdogs for things, and they make it sound warm and fuzzy, but in the end, it's teaching citizens to snitch on people over things like building code violations and stuff like that. And this is how you get into a draconian state where people get this in their psyche that they can snitch for City Hall and whatever. And, I mean, it was so bad here for a while until we got into office. If somebody saw you up on a ladder driving one nail in your house, they were calling City Hall. That's how bad it was around here.
Amazing. Well, let's put this on the map just for the humor, if nothing else. Obviously, you're fabulously wealthy. You've been a member of the Council on Foreign Relations for 50 years, a 33rd degree Freemason, a Catholic and Jew both, and so you have had no problem whatsoever obtaining office. Would that be right, or is there perhaps another story of how you actually won an election?
Well, first of all the stuff you just named, I am not. The second part of it is that I was sitting in a city council meeting one night just in the audience, and I had one guy who just told me, you know, walked up to me and said, hey, he said, have you ever thought about running for alderman? He said, you're good on the issues. Why don't you run? And I said, I've toyed around with the idea, but I just never really thought about it seriously. I think I'm going to do that, and the rest is history.
Well, there you go, folks. We'll pick it up on the other side. Pardon my joke, but I just had to throw it out there. It's not that hard to get elected. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we've returned, and all humor aside, it's not that difficult, folks, if you will just roll up your sleeves and throw your hat in the ring, to actually begin to make a difference locally by becoming one of the locally elected officials. Here yesterday, Sam, we had a local election, the April the 7th spring election, and on the ballot was our local Exeter mayor, Rusty, and he ran unopposed, to our shame. There was a fire district a board member that ran unopposed, to our shame. A hospital district fellow that ran unopposed, to our shame. But we did have candidates in on the health board, and there was also another local funding initiative on the ballot. So largely because of my own inability to field and flesh out and finance and run candidates, I didn't change the mayor in our town. I didn't become the mayor in our town. But these are things that on a shoestring, folks, you can begin to work locally to actually alter the course of events. Now, Sam's got his head turned on. He's been doing research for a long time, understands Agenda 21. I've been on his broadcast, and we've talked about the International Property Maintenance Code and things like that, the Hazard Mitigation Planning System. He understands what Enhanced 911 is and what can be used as what could be seen as a downside of all of that. But what are some of the other hot issues? What are some of the other things that are happening right there in Owensville that you can think of and share with the audience, things that they could do locally?
Well, one of the things that I think is a hot issue that I can't seem to get across to people, and that is this whole issue of property rights. You know, I know one thing that's going to come up here in the not too distant future, probably around July. There's going to be an effort to ask for a property tax increase for real estate and personal property. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to vote no, because one of my problems is if I can tax you for it, it's not really yours. And that's something I can't seem to get across to people, because they say, well, we need property taxes because how else could the city run? And I'm starting to point out, I'm saying, well, let's clean up some spending areas here first, like sending $1,100 a month to the International Code Council. You've got almost that same amount going to the Merrimack Regional Council, which we know the regional councils are dedicated to destroying local and state governments. And I'm telling, it's like I told them there, I said, I said, this is tantamount to walking into the doctor's office, asking the doctor to give you a lethal injection so you can commit suicide.
That's exactly right. And then paying the bill, you know, in advance.
Yeah, you got it.
You know, so there are some of these things that, as we understand them and can work with other people around, one of the things that I'm dealing with right here in this county, in Barry County, I've been receiving, of course, like everyone else here, their 2009 personal assessment list. And I am so internally opposed to this particular list and this brand of taxing. I think that property taxes and personal property taxes are not just regressive taxation, but they're so reprehensible to me that they just turn my stomach. You know, they do everything in the world to induce people into fraud or hiding or concealing. You know, the farmers will have like two combines and a third one along a fence line for parts. They'll report one combine because everybody knows they combine wheat or something. You'll have a half a dozen trucks, some of four of them you keep for parts. You only report one of the trucks, things like that. You've got a dozen trailers, three or four of them are in barns. Nobody ever sees you hauling but one trailer at a time, you know, that sort of thing. There's so much opportunity, you know, and then the cows, your cattle are taxed. How can you tax cattle? How can you tax a man's horse, you know, and get away with any kind of a conscience? But they do it. Airplanes, old cars, boats, even your bass boat has a tax in the trailer and the motor, all three parts, you know. All of this is so regressive and to me that it just encourages people to lie, cheat, and then ultimately steal, basically, from the tax. And so that gives justification for the entity, the taxing entity, to lie, cheat, and steal as well. You know, well, the people do it, and so we're doing it, and you try and bring up the moral side of taxes. And then, you know, you've got the same argument that you've heard, well, how will we fund it? Well, hey, you're exactly right, Sam. We need to look at cutting out all of this socialist spending and get back down to the real basis of what government could and perhaps should be, which is providing goods and services to protect property, not to plunder it.
Well, let me tell you how bad it was here. We first moved here, and I ignored it. I didn't even answer it. The county assessor, when we got our letter here from the county assessor when we first moved here, they wanted to know what appliances we had in our home.
Oh, man, that's taking it over the top. And the way that this one starts off, it says, list all of your tangible property. Well, I sent a lot of questions in a certified letter, which has not been replied to, by the way. But one of them is, you know, they have so many things listed on this two-page legal size thing that you're supposed to, you know, basically testify against yourself, incriminate yourself, and then go into a subscription contract with them when you sign the back of it. But they ask for list all of the tangible property. Well, if I were to list all of the tangible property, having done an estate sale for my father and an estate sale for my mother, and as the executor of the estate, there were many, many, many pages of itemized listing that I prepared for all of the beneficiaries. If they're going to tax and use that kind of language, list all of the tangible property, I mean, I would have to say, well, I have 7 pencils, 9 pens, 2 wristwatches, 3 pairs of scissors, you know. Give us a break. Get your wording right, you know. They're asking for things, and then when you don't list all of your tangible property, again, you've basically perjured yourself under your signature.
Yeah, and see, that's where they get you. And how far are we going to carry this? You know, there was a proposal. It died, thank God, but I remember hearing about a proposal several years back. I don't remember exact year now, but a proposal in Oklahoma at one time where there was talk of even taxing people clear down to the clothes they had.
Well, I can imagine that. Angela Basham, Dr. Angela Basham here in Missouri, folks, has a petition that she has worked up. Now, she's been very busy during the tax time. I'd love to have her come on for the benefit of the audience. But I would like to see us move forward with this petition this year, gathering more signatures, get the number that we need, and move forward to repeal the personal property tax and the real property tax off of the backs of the people in Missouri. And then as far as funding is concerned, well, we'll just have to cross that bridge, but we're going to have to shut off the funding. If we can close these spigots, Sam, I think that we can start getting our governments to pay attention, that they are so far out of bounds that it's beyond reason. But we've got about 2 minutes left in this first hour, and so I'll just let the audience know that in the second hour, we're going to change. Sam has graciously allowed me to get into this political side of things in the first hour, but in the second hour, we're going to change the topic, and we're going to go into micro FM broadcasting, low-power FM broadcasting, and I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of that concept, touch on the who, what, when, where, and why, if you will. And initially, and for those who are going to be leaving us now, you know, I appreciate that you're coming on with us and sharing your understanding of some of the things that are happening locally and how this independent media system came into existence, Sam.
You bet.
Okay, folks. Well, we've got about another minute left to go, and so let's close it out. Basically, what does, in just the most thumbnail sketch for people who may not have a clue, what is the duty, what is the responsibility of an alderman, what service do you provide in the representative government system locally?
Okay, well, the alderman is more powerful than most people give them credit for. They can decide what is budgeted, what is not budgeted, even beyond the mayor. The mayor is pretty much just a figurehead for the most part, but if you can get in with three or four of people of like mind in a small town, say, like, for example, particularly now, the bigger the town, the more aldermen there are. But in a smaller town, like in our case, we have four aldermen grand total. And if we decide something's not going to get budgeted for the town, it don't get budgeted for the town. And also, if we decide if something is going to be budgeted, it gets budgeted for the town. So, we vote on ordinances, what ordinances will be enacted, which ones will be terminated, modified. There's a lot of stuff that you get a say in. In fact, just recently I denied our marshal funds out of the community policing. I talked to our other alderman about it, and I said, if you're smart, I said, you will not go along with this. And fortunately enough, so far, nothing has happened with that. And I'm hoping it stays that way. But it's like I sent them out an article. There's a good article. Newswithviews.com has a good article on community policing if you go up there and investigate.
Okay, so there are things you can do locally, and you can stay right with us as we come back for the second hour, folks. Become Vocal Local, our special guest, Sam Britton. Stay there.
Hi, folks. Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Wednesday, April the 8th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour of broadcasting, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and today I'm joined by our special guest, Sam Britton. In the first hour, we talked a little bit about the history of the independent research movement, the places, names, ideas, thoughts that were fundamental in beginning this this drive towards internet radio and micro broadcasting, AM and FM. We talked a little bit about politics, local action, things that you can do. Sam is an alderman here in his town in Missouri, Owensville. The importance of that, things that you can do as an alderman, as you could do as a county commissioner if you could get that kind of a slot, or justice of the peace in Arkansas, for instance, same kind of a thing. And in this second hour of the broadcast, we're going to take this to another level. A lot of research is being done by independent researchers all over America. And on this network and in other networks, we're getting this information out. And one of the great advantages that we have is the idea of first, in my mind, forming these local voting precinct groups so that we can take charge right where we are. But then in order to expand that outreach and to drive nails in that plank, so to speak, we can use the power not only of the Internet, but also the Internet connected with low-power broadcasting equipment so that we can put this message out and actually become the media right where we are. So, Sam, let's pick it up. What is micro-broadcasting? What is the idea behind community radio? And then we'll go into all of the various details.
Okay, first of all, micro-broadcasting is just simply a lower-powered version of what you would normally receive on a radio that's on the FM band. You know, now you tune up and down the dial and you see all these big 100,000-watt powerhouses on the dial that transmit. You'll have a rock channel, a classic rock channel, an oldies channel, a country or two or three or four, how it depends on the market you're in. You'll have all this diverse stuff, but none of it is real informational. It's, you know, and they have a news block on the hour, usually in the rural areas. It's so-and-so had a car accident last night on Highway P and was killed upon impact and that kind of thing. And while that's a horrible thing to have happen to anybody, what are you going to do about it after the tragedy has already occurred? You know, it's kind of like a, well, that's too bad mentality, you know, is what comes out of that. You know, when you hear about all these, you know, car accidents, you know, you might be able to console the family, and that's fine. And the same holds true, you know, as a house fire occurred on Highway T or something, you know. But anyway, that's usually what the local news consists of. And sometimes they'll have a, you know, occasionally an issue being brought before, you know, before the city board or whatever in a given town. But like in our case here, we don't have a radio station other than what we're pumping out through Low Power FM. We do have a newspaper here. And they cover things, well, for those who receive the paper. But the problem is you have to receive the paper. What we do here is...
Let me jump in right there because I think it's important enough to state it. There are many people, and I've heard numbers as much as 65% of rural Missouri, for instance, are not connected to an internet, even though they're doing the fiber optic spread everywhere, trying to get everybody inside of the grid. But there are a lot of people that are not on internet. There are many people who are making decisions, and even in the past have lost interest in their local newspaper. But there are many people who are making decisions now financially where they're going to have to move away from an internet-connected computer and cancel the subscriptions to the newspapers. And so with just that little pocket radio, just with that any kind of a radio receiver at all, for the audience aspect, we're talking about something that they can do right on their radio without having anything extra except for an electrical extension. We'll be right back, folks. Pick this up off of the break. Stay with us.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back right here on the Wednesday, April the 8th at 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, going into the second hour, just getting that underway. And in the first hour, we talked quite a bit about various and sundry topics. I'm joined today by our guest, Sam Britton. Sam is an independent researcher, has a website on the web. It's theinformationcorner.com, theinformationcorner.com. You can go there and check out his stuff. He's interviewed a lot of people, got lots of information going. But he's also a micro-broadcaster, and we were talking a little bit, Sam, before the broadcast went into the break, about the importance of being able to reach mom and dad and the young people that are out there in the greater potential listening audience who have no more in their homes than just an AM and an FM radio. And on the FM bands, there are lots of music programs, but today with the Clear Channel and all of that, much of what you get, you know, it could be coming from anywhere. And so it has precious little to do with where you are, what's happening locally, and this is one of the places where we can really shine on. But let's pick it up right there. We can understand that a lot of people are going to be making financial choices, perhaps moving away from the internet, but for those who have an internet-connected computer and get involved with micro-broadcasting, we can actually become the media in those areas. Let's pick it up from there and go into it a little deeper.
Okay, yes, with micro-broadcasting essentially, if done right, is no different than any other station on the dial other than the fact it doesn't carry as far. It, like for a small town like what I live in, which is a town of 2,500 people, a 5 to 10-watt station will serve the whole town, no problem. So it's very easy, for example, to get information out like what we're doing today to an audience that otherwise would not have access to all of the things that are really going on. And let's face it, there's a lot of stuff going on that the media, the mainstream media, will not cover whatsoever. And so it's up to us, those of us that decide to put on a station, to pick up the ball and get started. And one of my goals when I put the station on was to get this station to sound every bit as good as anything else out there. We've struggled at it. It's been 4 years or so as far as since we've been here, and even a few years before that, but we upgraded the technology, and I think we've got a pretty good sounding station here.
Okay, so now we've talked a little bit about what. I mean, we're talking, folks, about low-power radio broadcasting. And as Sam said, it'll sound just the same on the dial, whether they're driving around town, bicycling around town, listening with earbuds, whether they're sitting in the living room. They'll be listening to a local station. They tune into it and can enjoy it just as much as they would any other radio station in the area. And in some cases, like here, there's a limited choices of radio to actually listen to, especially in rural areas. But you have the same trouble in the city. A lot of the material that you get, like I said, it's Clear Channel or something like that. And so you're going to get pre-programmed, pre-digested material. So let's go into a little bit about what. What is this this stuff? What are we looking at as far as, well, no, let's go into the who. Let's talk about who. Who would be someone, let's try and nail down who might be someone out there listening today that would be interested in this, and why would they want to do it?
Well, there's certainly some people that put them on because they just want to have fun playing music and things like that, which I guess that's fine, but the problem with that is that certainly in my view, in the age in which we live in now, information is of the most critical importance. Recreation is for when you get your work done. I mean, as a matter of fact, we do a once a month oldies show on Liberty Radio, but we do it once a month, and it's always after we get our work done. And it's a way for Trish and I to take a break from the news that's going on and enjoy a little music. But we always let our audience know that, just bear in mind for the new people that tune in, we're not a music station. We are information. And music is just the glitter on the top after the information is done. So our goal here is to disseminate quality broadcasts with information that can be documented, because once you lose your credibility, you know how that goes. It's harder to get your credibility back. You can lie with impunity if you're in the mainstream media, but if somebody catches you on something that's false and you're in the alternative, they'll roast you like you wouldn't believe. So, you know, I always try to make sure that the broadcasters that I carry are quality broadcasters, that you can document the things that they talk about. And the person, I would say the person who would really be suitable for this is if you've got a message to get out, you know what's going on in the world, and you want to share it with your community, you got a little bit of knowledge. Today you don't have to have as much electronic knowledge as you used to, but if you got a little bit of knowledge and can follow some simple instructions from various places on the internet, you can get one of these things up and running. It's going to cost you a little bit financially in the beginning, but the rewards would be great.
So initially, we could be even looking at people who are homebound or retired or someone that is basically maybe even disabled, can't get out and about much. This would give them an opportunity to be able to be part of it, so to speak. As we say, like to say, you know, there's a revolution in the air, be a part of it. This would give people an opportunity to be a part of it that maybe would be feel like they were marginalized or on the outside, and a great opportunity. And it could be anybody who is, even if they're not necessarily, you know, experts and well-read and highly researched, you can rebroadcast, folks, the broadcast that you enjoy the most. And if you want to add a little music in along the way or in the evenings, that would be fine, too. It's your network. It's your station.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, with the situation with Trish and I, we don't drive. Now, we can walk around town, but we don't drive. And when we do get out and walk, it's on the nicer days when we're snowed in or something. It's certainly days we can't get out, or if it's extremely cold, you know, you don't want to do a lot of fiddling around outside. But this is the one thing we can do from our little corner of the world that will least affect the people around us in a positive manner. And so we provide this service out of our own pocket. We don't ask for donations. The costs for doing this, the ongoing costs are usually minimal unless a hard drive and a computer crashes or something like that. Then we have issues like that. But for the most part, once you get through the initial cost to setting it up, other than a very slight, modest charge on your electric bill, obviously, because you're consuming some power, you're good to go. I would be surprised if it didn't cost you probably more than probably about $2 or $3 a month on your bill to run the thing.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to come up. We got about another minute before break, so let's just start out basically. Paint a very, very light brush stroke here. What kind of things does a person have to get in order to start micro broadcasting or low power FM broadcasting? What are some of the basics that they might have already in their house and things that they would have to add?
Well, if you've got a computer in your house that can pick up audio off the internet or a satellite dish or something like that, that's the first step. What do you want to broadcast? Do you want to do all your programming local? If you want to do all your programming local, you would need at least a microphone and some sort of a small mixing board to do local programming, and we can get into some of that as this unfolds. But first, what you got to decide is what source do you want to carry? Do you have access to that source? And then, of course, after the source, then you have to have the transmitting equipment to convert the audio from that source into radio energy that people can pick up and broadcast. I mean,
hey,
and hear on their radios.
Let me jump in there. Folks, you're going to have something to say and some way to get it out. We'll be right back. Stay right with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
And we're back speaking with Sam Britton today. We're talking low power FM. And Sam, you know, this is the part that I was really waiting for. This is the place where we start to get down to the nitty gritty, if you will, a little bit. So folks, we understand that you're going to have something to say, whether you're saying it or whether you're bringing it out somewhere else. And then you're going to have some way of getting it out to the people. But we're not talking about having to have 40 acres here in a 600-foot tower or anything like that, outside buildings, standby generators and all of that nonsense. What we're talking about is something that you can do basically from a living room, from a closet, from a small place in your home, and your outreach is going to be a little bit less. But let's pick it up there. Let's talk about first, reiterate some of the various different sources of material that might be able to be broadcast, and then how they actually start to get it out.
Okay, well, you have the internet, and of course, much like what we're doing here, as I'm speaking to you right now, we are rebroadcasting Oracle. The show that we're doing right now together is going out over Liberty Radio, and it's plugged into basically, we're feeding out of a computer that's sitting over here. In addition to the one I'm talking to you through now, I have another machine sitting over here to my right, which is about 3 feet away from me, and that machine is the one that I feed all of the on-air broadcasts through, and it handles all of my networks throughout the day. Now, in addition, in my case, I'm going to eventually put in a backup system, which will be a satellite system. They're cheaper than they've ever been. You can get yourself a little 30-inch dish system now. A lot of networks are even offering them that have satellite now, where you can get a dish system for about $200 all total. Now, the only problem with that is that some networks are not on satellite. It's very cost prohibitive for a lot of the networks to get on satellite. So if you're going to carry Oracle for now, you're going to have to carry it off the internet. So my suggestion, probably the easiest would be to do, if you can afford to get yourself a DSL line, or if you already have a DSL line, you've already got the computer, you've got the DSL. Most computers are pretty good at multitasking. You could just stick that audio connection from the computer to the transmitter right into that sound card. That station can be picking up the audio from the station from the network you're broadcasting at the same time you're doing mail and internet surfing. Now, the only thing we have to be careful about around here is if we do massive downloads, that our downloads don't exceed our bandwidth, otherwise it'll kill the broadcast that we're carrying. So Trish and I have learned when we can download, when we can upload, and that kind of thing. But, I mean, other than that, it doesn't really bother us that much. And we have broadcasts going out of here, Will, 24 hours a day off the internet. So we always have bandwidth being used for something that we're carrying.
Well, it makes the absolute most out of your internet monthly charges on your phone bill, folks. So there are more things that you can do with the computer than you can probably imagine. And this is just one of the many things you can do. In my radio studio here, I have a computer that I've got inexpensively used that I dedicate for this purpose and this purpose alone. So in this particular computer, I don't have any large files. I don't have videos stored or anything like that, which allows me the maximum amount of disk space. And then so that the broadcast, you know, I can carry the most amount of material over the Skype system. And then I'm also hooked in with a USB connected mixer, and that mixer has my headphones and my various audio equipment hooked to that, a good quality microphone, and you're basically at that point, folks, pretty much good to go. And if I were to take the microphone out of this particular bundle, simply because I went probably further than is necessary on that aspect. But if you take the microphone out of this particular bundle, I've got less than $400 in this equipment, and it sounds just as good on the air as anybody else's, I think. So the things that you do, just like, for instance, right now, and I'm sure you do the same, you could do the same thing, Sam, is that I could be doing a local news hour right now, or I could be talking about the local county fair, or with another microphone and a set of headphones, I could be interviewing the mayor right now or the county sheriff right in my own living room. So these are things that you could do. Now let's go into a little bit about getting it out. What kind of equipment is out there on the marketplace? pitfalls, words of warning, words of advice along that line. What is a low power FM transmitting system? What are the components and what kind of costs are people looking at?
Okay, well, first of all, it's gotten simpler now than it's ever been. In its raw, pure state, the items that you need, and I don't want this to scare everybody because we're going to talk about how we can fix this problem for those who don't know a whole lot about what I'm going to talk about. You need a transmitter. That's a device that converts the audio signal that you're wanting to rebroadcast to radio energy that can be picked up by everybody. You need some sort of a device called a limiter to control the audio going into the transmitter. It's basically a device, a brick wall device, that keeps your audio level from exceeding a certain level going out on the air. And then in my case, I added an equalizer, which is just basically a box which controls the how much high-end fidelity, in other words, how much fidelity I'm going to put out, how much bass, that kind of thing, just like an equalizer on a stereo in this case. Now, having said that, I don't want that to seem complicated because now there are companies that have come along, such as Broadcast Warehouse, that have built transmitters that have all the essential items you need, all pre-adjusted, all pre-configured, in one box. All you have to supply is the power, the antenna, and the audio source. Now, what you don't want to do is you don't want to build a transmitter out of somebody's junk box unless you really know what you're doing, because one of the problems that you have is that if a transmitter is not properly filtered, it will broadcast in other areas of the radio spectrum besides where you want to be, where you know, besides the channel you want to be broadcasting on. For example, you don't want a transmitter which throws spurious harmonics of your signal up into the aircraft band that'll interfere with aviation. You want to get in trouble real quick, that's the way to do it. So get something from a reputable party that is built good. Most vendors out there today that are in business sell transmitters that are Part 73 certified, and that just basically means that they meet standards for spurious emission and that they are stable on frequency. In other words, what we mean by stable, if you park that transmitter at 102.7, you want it to stay on 102.7. You don't want it drifting up the dial because of thermal problems or something. You don't want it drifting up the dial to, say, like 103 and stepping on another station. So bearing that in mind, if you're willing to take the extra time, check out the stability of a transmitter. Usually most vendors, when they publish information on the Internet regarding a transmitter they sell, they will tell you about frequency stability, harmonic, spurious harmonic emission, that kind of thing. And most of your good vendors will not sell you something that's going to get you in trouble.
Okay. And so they're out there. It's not something that we necessarily need to, and I don't even think they make them anymore, Sam, but I don't think it's something we need to start with a Heath kit or anything like that. We're not going to a Radio Shack and trying to put one together and all that. We're actually just simply going to a vendor, telling them where you are and what you're trying to achieve, working with that person, and then finding the right unit that would be suitable for what you're trying to do right where you are, and then approach it as economically as possible. Would that be a fair summary?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the thing is, too, obviously you want to check out is the frequency where you want to park it. Like, for example, let's take, for example, you want to put your station at 102.7. We'll just pick that as a frequency just out of the blue. Make sure that 102.7 in your area is clear. That's the thing. And we'll talk about that after the break.
Okay, sounds good, folks. And that, we'll find out, how do you find out what signals are clear? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting edge talk radio.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book.
Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, that call-in number, folks, if you'd like to talk to either Sam or myself in regards to low-power FM broadcasting, is 866-841-1065. And as we're going into the break, one of the things that Sam was hammering home as well as he can, and it really needs to be thoroughly understood, is that the intention here in this broadcasting system is to provide a service to the community and not to come in and cause a grievance to anyone else. If we're going to believe in freedom and liberty and things like that and unalienable rights, those that are in the big field, those that have paid the big money and have the big equipment, have every bit as much right to anticipate that their signal's not going to be walked on by somebody broadcasting out of their closet as you do to be respected in your right to freedom of speech. So let's kind of pick it up there, Sam, and talk a little bit more about how one goes about determining whether or not there's a frequency that's available for them in their area. Are you still with me there, Sam? Sounds like he may have dropped. Unusual. Let's see what we can do about picking him back up again. And go over here and pull down that. And we're just self-producing these broadcasts. And I go right to there and add that and add that. And let's see if we can connect him back. Do we have Sam yet? Do I have him back? Do I have him back? Do I have him back? Not seeing him that way. Let's go another way. Just bear with me, folks, while we see if we can bring our guests back online. used to be that you could just say, oh, Mr. Producer, please, we've lost our guest, and they can just bring them right back up. But let's just see if we can do this, go this way, add this overlay.
Okay, I got you back on here now on
Skype. Okay, great. There you are. Now you are. Okay.
And I had you on the phone, too, at the same time, so whichever way you would have went, you would have found me.
Well, I was just about to call the phone number. Anyway, I was just ad-libbing a little bit there, pumping along. So let's go back.
You did good.
Let's go back into it and pick up right where we lost it, and that is that how does one go about figuring out which signals are the clear signals in their area?
Okay, well, they're used to the way you did it, and I would still recommend doing this because you never want to rely absolutely unequivocally on a database in case they get something wrong. But the first thing you want to do is find a channel that you think is going to be a good channel, and if you can become mobile, or if you can't become mobile yourself, have somebody help you with this. Have somebody drive around with their FM radio tuned to that channel and see if they hear any stations, you know, distant stations on that frequency or whatever. That's one way to do it. Now, a good thing that has come along here that's been around for quite a while, and I found out about it just a few years back, and that's a website called radio-locator.com. And what they have in there is a listing of used channels and unused channels. And you can go in there and put in your zip code or your city or whatever the case may be, and it will list, if you want to select unused channels, it will list for you all the unused channels in your area. And that's a great service as well. Doesn't mean you ignore going around and making double sure that frequency is clear. It just further evidence that channel is clear. And the reason I say you got to use both of these together is because one of the problems you can run into in rare cases is you'll think a channel is clear, and let's say maybe somebody has set up, like some of the NPR stations and some of your Christian radio stations have done, they'll set up these little things called translators in your area, and that's where they'll pick up whatever station they want to rebroadcast to an area that otherwise wouldn't hear the station. And kind of like a repeater. In other words, it picks up the FM station in some far-off place and then rebroadcasts it out on another channel in your local area. Well, if you park on the input frequency to that translator, you may wind up replacing what that translator is supposed to be broadcasting. And if you want to make the station real mad that owns the translator, do that. So that's why this database is so important, because it'll show you where some of those frequencies are that you may think are unused and are actually used. You may not hear anything on your car radio, but because this translator may have its antenna way up about 800 to 1,000 feet, it may hear the station it's looking for just fine.
Yes, okay. So there's a little bit of groundwork that's necessary to make sure that the frequency is good and clear. And today, folks, you know, with the digital automobile radios, where you can just dial it into something precise as opposed to the old rotating cords that we had on the early FM radios, you can be a lot more precise in your examination. And if you have an intention to go out with maybe something that will reach 4 miles or something like that, you can certainly go out and drive a 6 mile circle and an 8 mile circle and a 4 mile circle and so on right back to your house again, just driving around on the roads around you, and just see whether or not you're not getting anything on that. So let's go into the next part, Sam, which, you know, again, I know that when I first started hearing about low-power FM and low-power or micro-broadcasting on AM bands, I was visualizing, well, let's see, I could probably put up an antenna here, and if I put my guide posts in the corners of my lot and went up about, maybe just 150 or 200 feet and so on and so forth, is that really part of the process? Are we talking about driving by something that looks like a radio station, or are we talking about driving by somebody's home?
Actually, on FM particularly, that's not the case at all. I have a little antenna. It's made out of stainless steel. I actually had a friend of mine at home build it for me, and it's probably no more than about 2 or 3 feet tall, and maybe in circumference all the way around when you consider the rods that stick out that form the ground plane for the thing. It's probably no more than about 3 or 4 feet wide, and the whole thing is just mounted on an old bracket for an old satellite dish on my chimney. And keep in mind, my house is not more than about a story and a half when you include the attic, and I'm able to I can have my transmitter turned all the way down to 2 watts, and most people can hear me around town. That's how good it works.
So we're talking about a pretty small antenna, and it certainly it sounds to me like it's even smaller than the old TV antenna sticking up alongside the house. And that old TV antenna now is obsolete, so maybe you could even use the mounting system there and just take the television antenna off, put a radio antenna on it, you'd be good to go, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you're not good at building antennas, you know, you can buy them that are very similar, already pre-built. There are also diagrams online that you can go, just type in, micro FM or low power FM broadcasting and search around through some of the search criteria, and you'll find various sites of people who have experimented and built their own antennas. One of the most common antennas in both ham radio and what some people like to do in low power FM is to go and buy copper at a plumbing store. And if you got somebody that's handy, or if you're handy with a propane torch, you can solder that copper plumbing together. And if you got it cut just right and soldered together just right to the frequency that you're operating in, you've just built yourself an antenna out of copper pipe that'll go very nicely up on top of your chimney or whatever the case may be. But if you don't choose to go down that road, like I say again, the same vendors that sell the equipment also sell the antennas, and you can get all kinds of antennas. You can get large circular polarized antennas, but I found I don't need that. I don't want my antenna to stick out like an eyesore. I just want something that's neatly nested in amongst the houses here that puts out a signal that people can hear. And I'm greatly encouraged, because I have a friend of mine that's a plumber that comes over here and does work for me and other people here in town. And he tells me, he says, I cannot count how many houses I've gone into around town where your station has been on. So I know the audience is out there. I know they're there. And I just thank God for them, and I just appreciate them listening, because it's a challenge. I always like to make sure that I don't want them to be led astray. I want them to be fed good quality programming, good quality broadcasting. And I just appreciate all of my listeners, and most of them, they just tuned around and found me. Nobody told them, unless maybe some of them, a friend might have told them or something, but a lot of them just find me by accident.
Okay. And so that just kind of reinforces where we were coming from, where I was coming from anyway, Sam, and the idea of the local voting precinct group, or if you have a property rights group in your area, or some other kind of a network where you get together on a monthly basis. This is an opportunity to put your message out so that you can really just throw out the old tinfoil hat conspiracy theory marginalization that you might receive in various places. You're kind of like exploring and paving the ground for times when you actually meet somebody at the barbershop, or you meet somebody at the restaurant, and they go, oh yeah, I heard that. Hey, that's your net, you know, that's your station. Well, I heard that on the radio the other day, and you know that they're talking about the low power system. And so, folks, it's a way to reinforce and give credibility. And as Sam has mentioned, and it is so important, once you stray off into nonsense and start telling lies on the air, you're finished locally. We'll be right back, and stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we're back, folks, right here on Become Vocal Local. And Sam, before we run out of time on today's broadcast, I'm such a motor mouth, I sometimes run it right up to the last. Before we do that, first of all, I do want to thank you again for coming on, taking a couple of hours out of your very busy morning. And before we lose this audience, please tell the audience about the InformationCorner.com website and the broadcast that you do and how they can follow the work that you're doing.
Right. Our website is www.theinformationcorner.com. Make sure you put the in there, and it's all lowercase, www.theinformationcorner.com. And we do a show there. It's the new ones are usually uploaded Tuesday or Wednesday. Sometimes our webmaster gets a little busy, and they get uploaded a little late, but they usually get up there usually on Tuesday night or Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, but usually within that time frame. There's always a new show up there, a new broadcast, and we do it, like I say, every Tuesday night. We, of course, run it here locally, and any low-power FMers that want to download it and run it on their station, they're welcome to do so. No problem. Glad to have you do it. So, it's www.theinformationcorner.com.
Very good. Thank you so much for that. And let's finish it out with your other ideas in regards to what the people that are out there thinking about becoming micro-broadcasters or want to do a little bit more research, they can always go to microeffect.com. That's a good place to start. But other ideas is where they can go, and then maybe we could close it out with some basic ideas as to what the costs of getting involved is.
Right. You can. There's vendors out there. There's Progressive Broadcast Electronics. Just do a search for them. That'll pull them up. Their URL always gets me every time unless I have it right in front of me, but it's just do a search for Progressive Broadcast Electronics. That's one of them. There's Broadcast Warehouse, which now, by the way, distributes here in the States. They're not just overseas anymore. And a good transmitter, if you're not really sure what you're doing, a good transmitter to get started, you can always add to the system later, is a transmitter called the TX1 or the TX5, which is put out by Broadcast Warehouse. All these transmitters have everything all adjusted and pre-configured, so all you got to do is provide an antenna, an audio source, plug it in, turn it on, and away you go. For more experienced people, you can get into more in-depth stuff from there, but that's a good way to get started. Now, one last thing I want to leave you with real quick. If you live in a town or an area where a licensed broadcaster, a full-power licensed broadcaster, is brave enough to carry the kind of programming like what we hear on Oracle, Let them do it. This is for those people who cannot hear this kind of programming. In other words, if you live in the listening area of a station, a licensed station that's carrying, say, like Oracle Broadcasting, let them carry it. They're doing the job for you. And you're very blessed to have any licensed broadcasters that would even dare pick this up. So honor them, applaud them, stand with them. But if there are no licensed broadcasters picking it up, then you can provide an outlet for Oracle or whoever you want to provide in your local area through a low-power FM station.
And one of the things that goes along with that, and we've talked about this before with Mike Chambers on his broadcast and Jim Berryman, also a micro-broadcaster, is that this, folks, gives you an opportunity as well to pick and choose. You can find the various different broadcasts throughout the entire spectrum of independent media, and you can put together a daily dose, if you will, just the way you want to hear it, too. So it gives you lots of room to be able to be expressive and to be creative, and, of course, it gives you the opportunity to do a live broadcast yourself and to wade into the wonderful world of broadcasting. And just a really brief, if you would, Sam, not to muddy the water, but what is ham radio? How does that figure into all of this? Are the ham people locked out of micro broadcasting, or are they in a good position to take it up as well?
Well, they can do it with their electronic theory knowledge. They certainly are in a good position to do it because if you've got the knowledge that you've obtained through being a ham operator, it's just that much more knowledge that you have toward being able to put things together and make things work. You need to understand, basically, if you're going to build something, if you're going to put together something with separate components, you need to understand terms like modulation, deviation, and those are, we can't get into those right now, but I'm just kind of giving you an idea. If you're a person who doesn't understand what the word modulation is, what the word deviation is, frequency stability, that kind of thing, then you want to go with something that's more prefabricated, that is all set up for you, and all you have to do is plug it in, turn it on like you would an appliance, plug audio into it and an antenna into it, and away you go. A sign of frequency, of course.
So the ham people encourage you all to consider it, too. I know we've got a lot of people out there. I listen on single sideband frequently on my shortwave systems here, my DX equipment. And so I know that there are a lot of people right in my area that get up on the airwaves on ham. And so if you're already a radio bug, this would just be an extension of that, a little bit another wrinkle in the hobby. But it's not required, folks. It's not something that, like I said before, where you need to anticipate having great towers and voluminous quantities of equipment. Some of the stuff is not inexpensive. I mean, I've heard people out there that talk about, oh, well, you can get into this for like $100, $200. I don't think that I've never found anything like that on the net. But we're also not talking about $10,000 or $15,000. You can move into micro broadcasting, if my research is right, for somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,000 for a first class, well built system. And probably if you are a good shopper and do your homework, I think you can find that the lower end is possible too. Give the audience a little bit of an idea of what they might look at from highs and lows and how that would work out, Sam.
Okay, well, if you've got all your audio sources in line and you've got an antenna in line, the basic transmitter itself, if you're going to buy an all-in-one, say like the TX1 or the TX5 to get started, TX1's going to set you back about $800. That's with a transmitter, all the limiting, audio limiting, and everything built in that you need. And you can always add an amplifier to that later to boost its power just a little bit. The TX5 is going to run you just a little over $1,000. And that, too, if you live in a small town, that 5-watt signal coming out of that TX5 may be just enough to serve your small town. And it, too, has everything built in that you need, all pre-configured. Now, if you're a person who wants to go further than that, then you can get transmitters that go into the 20-watt range. But one thing I want to leave you with here, too, is that if you can serve your town with a minimal amount of power, the bigger your footprint, the more you're going to possibly interfere with and the more likely you're going to be to get into problems. So be careful. That's all I can say as far as when you go to run power. Use the power absolutely necessary to cover the area who you want to cover, and then you're in good shape, I think, at that point.
And so there are legal ramifications in all of this as well, folks. There is the FCC. There are various licensing requirements that if you start messing around, you're going to find yourself in trouble. But on these various websites, you can go. They'll give you links to go and read the various documents that you need to understand what you're getting involved with, things that give you a heads up, obstacles and roadblocks that might be in your way. But really, from what I've seen in my own research, and Sam, certainly from what I've heard from you and Jim and others and Mike Chambers, it seems to me that our greatest obstacle is the same one that bothers us on just about everything. It's the old playing the game of ain't it awful and wringing our handkerchiefs and getting caught up in this malaise thinking that you can't do anything and we're whipped. But, folks, I'm here to tell you, if Sam and Trish can pull off all that they're doing from their situation, almost every one of your excuses can be tossed into the garbage can, I mean to tell you.
Absolutely.
And over the years, listening to Bill Cooper and others, I've heard from people who are in wheelchairs. I've heard from people who are blind, people who are deaf, who are actually out there being involved, getting involved, and making a difference right where they are. And I would just encourage everybody to count your blessings, look up and do an inventory of all of the good things you have to be happy for, and look at the loss, look at the cost. If we lose the freedom, what little remains, and the opportunity to restore that freedom here in this country, if we don't do something, then we lose all. If we do something, we might be able to keep something, and keeping something of the freedom that we have would be better than just losing it all, in my book. Would you agree with that, or am I off to lunch there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, and that's certainly what I'm trying to do here, because I see the writing on the wall. I'm learning about stuff that's coming down the pike all the time that on the one hand scares the hell out of me, but yet on the other hand, I know if I stand up and alert people to it, my chances of being able to get through it along with everybody else. Numbers count. The more numbers you have, the better chance you have of getting through a lot of different things that are coming down the pike.
Absolutely. If you stand against the adversary by yourself, folks, all they have to do is tumble you down. But if you can add to yourself, just do the McDonald's process, you know, billions and billions serve. Multiply, duplicate, and remember all of the good things that you've learned here today. Sam, once again, thank you so much for being with us. And until the next time, folks, have a very, very good day.
One county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Hi, folks. Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Always remember those strong stories. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
long live the revolution.